Seen, amen. Goodness gracious. Thank you so much, JoBeth. And the words are so true. I'm sure if you're like your interim pastor, there are times when there is something burdened that has you burdened and bogged down, a worry of some kind. And then pause and count your blessings and see how you feel after that. We have many blessings. I want you to know that my friends complimented you, as I do often and try to do, complimented you on the beauty of this sanctuary. And I still feel that when you come into this place, even before we sing the first song, it is a stimulus for worship. And there are so many things about you people that I love, but I think you're the way in which you encourage others, and especially our young people, and pray for young people like JoBeth. And I may not be around, but I'll tell you one thing. I will look for her name somewhere in the pages or annals of great musicians and singers in the world. And just think, she'll be coming out of your church. And thank you so much for that blessed song. Thank you, thank you. Well, let's go to the Word of God now. If you brought your copy of God's Word with you, I want you to open them to 2 Kings, please, chapter 6. And I'm going to be preaching from 2 Kings today and again next Sunday. If you find that, 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. The title of that passage, The Axe Head That Floated. Now, how in the world is that possible? I'm going to explain it to you as best I know how. It doesn't matter to me what you think of the deceased Jerry Falwell, but the miracle of the present day Liberty University is a story worthy of being told. He was a pastor of Thomas Road Baptist Church in 1970s. And in late 69, the Lord sort of impressed upon him that they could do so much better. And he had a vision, not only for church growth, but he had a vision that one day they would establish a school. And his vision now is Liberty University, in which they have more than 13,000 resident students and over 100,000 online students. That is God's way of doing miracles with small things, and when people are faithful, being able to recreate wonderful things. Now I wonder if any of you have a problem that I have. Do you tend to lay things down from time to time and lose them, just forget them? Lord, if I could just remember that, where I put it. And Pat will always remind me, you put it exactly where you'll find it. And she's right. Now, let me show you something. This is the key to my Honda. If I lose that key, I'm in serious trouble. Now, you'll notice that it's not one of those fancy keys that has the unlock button or the lock button, because that's the one I lost. And so help me, I think we have searched the grounds of our estate in Fairlawn, Virginia, every inch of it, and I could not find my key. And we swear up and down that the dog ate it. And he very well could have. And you think that's funny. One day I was working up in the garden and I laid my cell phone on the table on our back deck. And when I come back out of the garden, I'm walking down the hill and I can't find my cell phone. And I said, well, maybe I carried it up the garden and lost it up there. And I start walking back up the road, up the yard to the gate to go out into my garden, and there is my cell phone in pieces. The dog got it. If you know a Labrador Retriever, we've got a chocolate lab. Chews on anything. Anything he can find. Well, perhaps you're a person that loses something and you just can't find it. And that kind of sets you up for the sermon that I want to bring to you today. It's really a strange passage, this one right here. But if you look at the life of Elijah, it certainly ought not to surprise you, not only this story that I'm going to relate to you today, but many of the ones that that come to us out of the life and times of Elijah. Now, don't confuse Elijah with Elijah. Elijah succeeded Elijah as the great prophet, and God said to him, I'm going to give you a double portion of the blessing that I had given to Elijah. And friends, the Lord is prepared to do that in our lives if we will just be obedient. How many times have you said, oh, if I was just the kind of dynamic Christian that person is? Well, you can be. What's the holdback? What's the problem? Surrender, total surrender to the Lord, and you'll receive a double portion because the Lord is in the blessing business, you know. All right, let's read this passage of Scripture. You're going to love it. Chapter 6, 2 Kings. It says, so the company of the prophets said to Elijah, look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to meet. And Elijah said, go. And then one of them said, won't you please come with us, your servants? I will, Elijah replied. And he went with them. And they went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. And as one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. Oh no, my Lord, he cried out. It was borrowed. And the man of God asked, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, Elijah cut a stick and threw it in there and made the iron to float. Lift it up, or lift it out, he said. And then the men reached down his hand and took it up. Let's pray for a minute. Now, Heavenly Father, you know what I want to accomplish in this passage of Scripture. And I am willing to step out of the way and let you take complete control. You know that whenever we have visitors in the house, especially those that are close to me, I feel a little bit of anxiety. But again, I want to step out of the way and let you take control of these moments we have together and realize that sometimes we lose things, even the depth of our spiritual lives in relationship to you, and all we have to do is go back to where we lost it. And there we find strength in you. Unite us as one now, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, 3 points to the message today that I want to share with you from this very unique passage of Scripture. It is a miracle. I mean, as long as you've lived, when is the last time you've seen an axe head float? I've never done that. It was like I was talking to the people Wednesday night. Scripture says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. And all of my life, I've never seen a camel go through the eye of a needle. But I know that there are plenty wealthy individuals that'll share heaven's portals with me. You see, we have always got to come back to what God wants to do in us rather than the mistaken idea that we could accomplish things on our own without His assistance. And when God is present in situations of life, strange and wonderful things can happen. Even an axe head can float. Now here's the first point. I want you to look at the setting of this story. The scripture says that there had been a school of prophets that had been founded by this great one, Elijah. And the setting of the story is the 8th century B.C. It was a time of turmoil. There was great division in the land. And that's why God gave rise to the prophets, men like Elijah and Elijah. The people needed to rekindle the flame of their love for God and His commandments. They needed to renew their strength in Christ, whom they were looking forward to somewhere there in the future. And they needed to reconfirm their dependence upon God to guide them through every passing day. And don't we need to do that? Well, of course we do. And it was a time of turmoil. And in this day of turmoil, God raises up this man, Elijah, who has a double portion of the same blessings God had given to his predecessor, Elijah. And Elijah establishes his school for prophets. And what that is, really, is a training institution. It no doubt was a place of inspiration as well as instruction. And no doubt when the people heard Elijah preach, there were some in the crowd that felt so inspired and they felt like, I can do that. I want to be a prophet like Elijah. And Elijah says, well, if you really want to do that, I am willing to mentor you. I am willing to be your tutor. And things went so well that it became too small for those that were attending the school of prophets. And one of them comes to Elijah and says, we need to build a bigger house. We need to have a bigger institution. I'm reminded of the Clear Creek Baptist Academy. Has anybody in the house heard of that? Clear Creek Baptist Academy. Yeah, I know you have. It's one of our favorite places to go. Well, let me tell you about it. Years and years ago, there was an old preacher by the name of Lloyd Kelly who was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Pineville, Kentucky. Yeah, you remember that, don't you? Amen. And I'll tell you, this old boy was quite the preacher. And the church was growing by leaps and bounds way back over there in the mountains of Kentucky. But God had planted in his mind a vision to establish a school. Because all over those mountains of that part of Kentucky and West Virginia were pastors in churches, little small country churches, who had absolutely no training at all. No high school education, much less college and seminary. And he said, I can do something about that. And he had a vision that turned out to be the Clear Creek Baptist Academy. You can go there today. It continually grows. And it takes pastors from all over those mountains and brings them there for a 2-year course. They can stay on campus or they can drive in from their church field and trains them in the basics of biblical teaching and preaching and how to lead Bible studies and how to lead sermons. Don't ever underestimate what God can do with people who have a vision. Now, what I have always challenged you to do in these 9 months that I have been your interim pastor is to reevaluate on a regular basis as a church what your vision for this church is. Because Proverbs says, without a vision, what's going to happen? God's people perish. And we are God's people. And we constantly have to evaluate our vision. And I don't know who this young prophet was, but he comes to his mentor and he says, we're outgrowing this place. Let's go down to the Jordan River and cut down some lumber and let's build another place larger. And Elijah says, well, you boys go ahead on then. And they said, no, we want you to come with us. There's inspiration about that. In that day, as men and women, boys and girls, heard the word of God, they wanted not only to have the inspiration, as we read in point number two here, not only did they want to have the inspiration, but they wanted to do something about it. And I appreciate so much your faithfulness and your attendance on Wednesday night and Sunday morning as I feebly stand beside you and with you and in front of you to lift up the Word of God. My goal is for you to receive some of the same inspiration that God has moved in my heart, and so that you may recapture the vision that you once had for this church. And so together, they begin to use the tools that they have available and the strength that they had, and they begin, as the scripture says, to cut down trees. Now we come to point number three. In the midst of their labor, now watch this, hear what I said. In the midst of their labor, the axe head fell into the water. There's a difference between servanthood in the body of Christ and through the church and pure labor. There are some men and women in this church that if I needed something done, all I would have to go to them, in fact, I've done it already, I could go to those men, and they know who I'm speaking of, and I would say, guys, here's something that needs to be done. Next Sunday, it's done. During the week, they've taken care of it. Now, you hear the difference in my voice between merely doing something and doing it with the right spirit. In the midst, the scripture says, as they were cutting down the trees, the axe head slipped off and fell into the water. And I don't know whether you see the spiritual implication of that or not, but this young prophet who was in the midst of cutting the tree lost the one tool that he needed. He lost his cutting edge. And I'll tell you, Brad and I, we're not doing this anymore. I was telling some of you that we gave up our wood cutting logging business. And I put in a gas stove in our den instead of burning wood. When that axe head gets loose, you can feel it. There is a sense of vibration in your hands. And you check the equipment out and say, am I getting ready to lose my axe head here? Am I getting ready, watch, to lose my cutting edge? Isn't there some kind of warning? And I wonder, how is it that this young prophet lost his axe head without some kind of warning? And I wonder sometimes, how is it that Christians lose their cutting edge spiritually without some warning signs that will flash up in your mind and in your spirit? Listen, the Lord loves us so much that, trust me, when we're getting off course, there is just a sense, this is part of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There is a sense of moving of that Holy Spirit that's telling us, you're about to lose it here. You're about to lose it here. And you need to retune, renew, refocus, because you're about to lose it. But in the midst of the labor, he loses his cutting edge. And then he cries out something really interesting. He says, oh, but it was borrowed. Now stay with me here.
What is it in your life from a spiritual perspective that the Lord has not lent to you? In essence, isn't that what stewardship is? I've told my buddy Mark, he's one of the most generous human beings that I've ever met in my life. And I've noticed in life, and you have too, that the more blessings that God pours out on you, the more we ought to be willing to give that away. But when we lose our cutting edge, it's because we haven't seen the spiritual signs that we're about to lose it. And then we are reminded, oh, but it was borrowed. And this church, now hear me well, this church is just an instrument. It's a vessel. It's a place that God has lent to us. We have borrowed it from the very portals of heaven. And when God gives us something in trust, don't we see the necessity and responsibility to take care of that? Well, of course. But here comes the prophet, and he rises to the moment. And the prophet said, well, where did you lose it? Somewhere out there in the vast unknown is the original keys to my Honda. And instead of walking up to the side of my Honda and sticking that key in and unlocking the door, I wish that I had one of those buttons like all of y'all have. And I'll tell you, friends, to renew your faith and to have a new spirit in you, a renewed spirit in you, you need to just ask, where did I lose it? What caused me to lose the fire that I once had in my belly for the Lord Jesus? What happened to me? And you go back to where you lost it, and that may be where you find it. And you say, well, you know, I lost it at the church when things started going downhill. I don't believe that for a second. You'll never convince me of that. Every church has had some bad experiences. Do you think in 27 years of pastoring Fairlawn Baptist Church, we never had some bad experiences? But I would always say to the people, let's go back. Let's rethink where we are. Let's renew our vision. If we have to start over again, let's start over again. I'll tell you a funny story. I don't want to go over time here, but I'm meeting with the Constitution and Bylaws team on Tuesday night. You know what we did with the Constitution and Bylaws at Fairlawn Baptist Church? We took that thing and threw it in file 13. And we started all over again. And it was one of the healthiest things that church has ever done. Now, I'm not going to do that. Don't y'all get intimidated. I know there's some members of the team here this morning. Don't y'all feel I'm going to do that. But we are going to make a couple of changes, I think, that'll be very important for the church. Sometimes we just have to go back to where we lost it and reclaim it. And Elijah says, well, where did you lose it? And I can see, can you visualize this in your mind? I can see the unprophet. He said, well, right there. Right there is where I lost it. And Elijah does a strange thing, but not really. Think about it for just a minute. Elijah reaches up. And he cuts a limb off of the tree. And he takes that limb that he has cut off the tree. And look what the scripture says. He took this limb or this stick. And he threw it in that water. And when he did, the scripture says, the axe head began to float. Now then, Elijah says, I'll pick it up. Pick it up. And the young prophet reaches down and takes up his cutting edge one more time. Now listen, you can do that. You can do that. You can do that. Hey, I like this even better. We can do that. As a congregation, we can do that. I'm reminded when he does this of another tree many years after this. It's a tree that became known as the old rugged cross. And someone cut those logs and hewed them out to make a cross on which our Savior died. And abused and battered, they made him drag that cross up Golgotha's hill. And they horribly nailed his hands and his feet to that cross. And listen, if you're sincere, if I'm sincere, if you really want to regain in your spiritual life your cutting edge, just look at the cross. Look at the cross upon which Jesus died. And we all know he is our strength. He is our shield. He is our protector. And you just apply the cross and see what Jesus did. In a spirit of renewing, you'll begin to feel your strength come back in renewal. Let's pray together. Lord, how mighty and wonderful are your words in all the earth. And Father, it seems like every time we open the passage of Scripture designed for us on a particular day, there's something new that we have never realized before. And that being the case, it must be for us. Uniquely and individually, it must be for us. So perhaps, Lord, there was something said, a verse read, that gives us a passageway into restoring what you have already lent to us, our spiritual cutting edge. Lord, do it. Do it now, Lord. Open up the hearts of these, your people, and do something, Lord, in a marvelous way today. Now, friends, in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing our invitation hymn. It is the hymn Without Him. And it says in it, without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be lost. Can this be the beginning day for you to renew your spirit within him and restore the cutting edge in your life spiritually? If so, I'm here for you. I'm here to pray with you. I'm here for what you need. But I'm just the vessel too. It is the supplier from above, Christ our Savior, that gives you what you need. So Lord, take complete control of this invitation time now and bless it by your will. In Jesus' name, amen.